Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome, and thank you for joining this week's podcast with the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. In this week's message, the Archbishop reminds believers that triumph over fear is not based on how we feel or what we face. It is based on what the Word of God declares. The Archbishop lays the foundation into the roots of fear and the keys needed for victory through strategic prayer. Know today that this is God's Word of inspiration for you. Be empowered as you listen.
Say with me, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Who causes us to triumph always by Christ Jesus? Yeah. There are two people. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Who causes us? Who causes me to triumph? Every now and then. Every now and then. You know what triumph means? Triumph means celebrating the victory. So thank God for triumph. Come on. Is anybody thanking God for triumph? Tell somebody, I triumph. I triumph. If you believe it, then shout and be seated. Amen. Triumph and confessing the word has nothing to do with the way you feel. It has nothing to do with your circumstances. It has everything to do with your faith. It has everything to do with what the word says. So I don't have to feel good. I don't have to feel great to triumph. You can have the upper hand and still feel some way, have some strange feelings, even though you have the upper hand. You can have a check at hand of $1 million and still be broke. Until you cash the check, you don't have the money. Even though you have it. So faith is a check. And today, I want you to cash the check. Tell two people, cash the check, cash the check. Don't forget what I said. That you can have $1 million check, cash, and still don't have money. Still be broke. Even though you have $1 million. Because even though you have the check, you don't have it till you cash it. Tell somebody else, cash the check. Cash the check. All right, I'll show you why you have to cash the check and how you cash it. Years ago, I spoke on a subject I entitled Confronting Fear. Today, fear has become stronger than ever before. And it has to do with a lot of things that are happening in our world today. Some of the things you hear on the news, on social media, is very worrying. And I believe that we need to revisit the subject of fear. And may I submit to you that fear is not something, and fear is not a feeling, fear is not a thought, fear is not an imagination, fear is not your circumstances, fear is a person. Tell somebody, fear is a person. Tell somebody, fear is someone, but he will always hide behind situations and circumstances so that we forget that is a person. But ladies and gentlemen, fear is a person. And is one of the strongest adversaries that the enemy uses when he wants to destroy an individual or a community, a family, a nation, a city. He releases that spirit called fear. And when fear comes in, it opens you up to other things to come in. I did ask them to put on the screen a fortress and to show you how fear can cause a crack, a little opening and a little hole for the enemy to come in to kill, to steal, and to destroy. It doesn't matter how fortified one may be, when fear sets in, there is an opening for the adversary to come in. So let's begin our journey today. It might take me a couple of weeks to really deal with this subject, and I need the prayers of every one of you. Our first scripture reading, 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Please underline the spirit of fear. So fear is not a feeling, it's not a thought, it's not an imagination, it's a spirit, and it's a person or a personality, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so underline, and please take note of this, that fear is a spirit and is one of the strongest weapons Satan deploys against everyone. The medical authorities have established that there are about 700 different kinds of fear. 700. And if you go to the website to see, it's amazing the types of kinds of fear people have. But I don't want to go to that today. We'll mention that another time, and you can go on their website to check for yourself. But there are about 700 fear. And it means that fear is a serpent with many, many, many heads. Fear will open you up and invite the adversary. And it operates in many, many ways. And it will torture your mind, your emotions, and compel you to speak death. And as you begin to speak death, it invites the adversary to come in. Proverbs 18:21.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
So, if you keep, whatever you keep speaking is what you will end up experiencing. They will eat the fruit thereof. So whatever words you speak, they are seed eventually to become a fruit that you have to eat yourself. So you got to watch what comes out of your mouth when you are afraid. And every one of us have a fear of something. And whatever you are afraid of is Satan's plan and agenda for your life. He's showing you his plans and desire and what he wishes and expect to befall you, to become of you. But today, whatever plan Satan has for our lives, our loved ones, this house, and our nation, by divine authority, on the account of the blood of Jesus Christ, let it be intercepted and arrested as we put our hands together in the name of Jesus. Intercepted and arrested by the power of Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I think it's very, very important when we are dealing with spiritual things for you to have an attitude of cooperation and faith to confront the enemy, because this is a very serious subject. Come with me to Job chapter 3, verse 25.
For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come on.
He said it twice. For 9 solid months, Job face an affliction, an adversary that his friends and loved ones could not make sense of. No one could make sense of it. He himself could not make sense of it. At the end of the 9 months of affliction, when he prayed, for the 9 months he never prayed. And then when he prayed, God turned his captivity. But Job then later on, when he sat down and reflected, came to the conclusion that everything that happened to him was a result of fear. That he was afraid of the things that happened to him. And what he feared has come upon him. The fear he had of losing everything he had, his kids, and everything he loved, he lost. And everything that concerns him was exactly what happened to him. And he mentioned it twice. Go back again and look at it. Job 3:25.
For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me.
Greatly feared. Underline the word fear has come upon me.
And that which I was afraid of.
Again, the word fear again, afraid of.
Has come unto me.
Has come unto me. Turn to somebody and say, what are you afraid of? If I come down and send the microphone around and begin to ask individuals of what they are afraid of, you'll be surprised of the things they will tell you. And as cute, beautiful, handsome, intelligent as anyone may be, home and abroad, in person and online, you'll be surprised what individuals are afraid of. Everybody has a fear of something. And if it is not confronted and dealt with, it could have serious implications, not right now, but in the future. And when people speak, you can also tell. You can tell what they are afraid of. It's in their confession. And the Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. So fear comes in to torture you mentally and emotionally, and to harass you, to get you to start speaking your fears. It projects, it plants and sows a seed. And we say, like, what if you die prematurely? What will happen to your kids? What if this thing you are attempting to do don't work? What if you lose your job? With what happened recently, losing 8 precious souls of our country, you have no idea the fear and the torture that goes on, not just with those precious families, but with so many others, that when a loved one is traveling, the enemy comes in and will torture you mentally. They are not coming back. This is the last time you see them. Are you sure they'll come back? And if they go for a little bit and you don't hear from them, you start checking the flight they went with, if it has really arrived. You have no idea the mental torture, the emotional torture. And I was telling my family the other day when I was traveling, I said, I will go to wherever I'm going and I will arrive at my destination in safety and in one piece. And I will return in safety and in one piece. If you believe that, put your hands together and say amen. Lift up your right hand. Say in the name of Jesus, I declare victory over fear by confessing. And this is my confession, that whenever I leave my house and my dwelling to go anywhere, I will arrive safely at my final destination in one piece, and I'll return safely in one piece to my dwelling without fail, in the name of Jesus, for I am free of fear. I am free of fear. If you believe you are free of fear, say it. Say it. You have to let fear know that I am free of you. You have no power over me. I am free of fear. Your inability to say it is an indication that you are a slave to it. And if you are no more a slave to fear, then say it. Say it. I am not a slave to fear. Say it. Say it. Say, I am free. I'm free of fear. I'm free of the spirit of fear. But please remember Job. Job. For 9 months, he couldn't make sense of his pain. Could not make sense of his adversity. His friends and loved ones couldn't make sense of it. And after everything, he came out and concluded that everything that has happened to him was a result of the fear he had. And it was exactly what he feared that came upon him. Lift up your hand, say in the name of Jesus, I renounce my fears. I renounce fear. Fear is not of God. I have no fear. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but has given me power, love, and of a sound mind. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I annul the implications of fear, the consequences of fear. I break the power of the spirit of fear over my life and future. Put your hands together. Pray that prayer. I break it. I break it. I break it. I violently uproot, attack the very stronghold of fear in my subconscious mind, in my subconsciousness, in my heart, in my soul, in my spirit. I violently attack fear. Amen. Now I want you to hear me. Hear me. You don't overcome fear by, there are people who say, you know, a strong willpower. Willpower don't overcome fear. Positive thinking don't overcome fear. Because fear is a spirit. It's not a thought. It's not a feeling. It's not a will. You conquer and overcome fear by the power of Jesus' name and by the scriptures indwelling you. Because you see, the reason why you must know this, and you must have the word in you, that the Bible said, let the word of God dwell richly in you in all wisdom. Whenever you face challenges, what is in you will come out. I'm telling you. When you are in the state of unconsciousness and you don't know and understand what's going on around you, what is in you comes out. I remember some years ago we were flying with a jet from Lumumbashi to the capital city of the DRC. And we encountered a very strange turbulence, very bad weather and lightness. And the aircraft was literally like, you know, it was like a bed. The aircraft didn't have the ability to deal with that kind of a weather. It was a very bad weather. And there was lightnings and there were people sitting all around me screaming, and it was very bad, very, very bad. And we're all praying. And I had two prophets, sons of mine, very, very sharp. None of them perceived and knew or picked or saw that storm coming. And after praying for a while, it kept on happening. And on my right was one of my spiritual daughters, and she didn't like that whole feeling of the way the aircraft was going and the way she was screaming and acting. It bothered me. And it kept happening. Then suddenly, it came out of me. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. As soon as that came out of my spirit, I've been thinking about it. I've been meditating. It just came out of nowhere. And I told everybody, stop praying. Everybody, stop rebuking. Stop praying. Just sing this song with me. And you know what it was? It was an assurance by the Holy Spirit giving me the word of God that this is not my end. And this is not the way I will end. Watch the path, or watch the upright man. The end of such a person is peace. And immediately when that word came up in my spirit, I said to everybody, stop praying. Nobody should pray. Just let's worship. And I brought up that song. We started worshiping. As soon as we started worshiping and singing that song, there was a calm. Everything stabilized and there was a great peace. A few years ago, we were in Italy. Myself and Rosa, and there's one or two people here who were there with us. We're celebrating her 60th birthday. And we went to the high sea. As soon as we got to the high sea, from nowhere, there was this tornado. It hit the boat. And the boat moved to left, right. Everybody was falling and it was busy, busy, bazaar. Then suddenly out of nowhere, it came out of me. And I screamed and I said, peace, be still. That's all I said. As soon as I said, peace, be still, immediately, there was a great calm. There's somebody here, right in this service. She was there with her husband. And after the captain said to me, who are you? And I said, why are you asking? He said, what just happened? It doesn't happen like this. Who are you? And I smiled. But what was in me came out. What is in you will come out. And that's why the word of God must dwell in you richly than any other thing. And for those of you who have no time for the word of God, have no time for spiritual things, spend all your time and your energy scheming and manipulating for power, for money, for influence, for relevance, for position, is just a matter of time. One of these days, you will see the importance of the word of God. Because when the enemy comes, none of the things we play with, we seek after, we go after, can deliver you but the word of God. There's only one thing he fears the most. He doesn't fear your anointing. He doesn't fear your gifts. He doesn't fear your prophetic powers. He's not afraid of your dreams and your vision. Listen, I've raised many prophets across the world. I have this prophet son. The guy is so sharp that he's scaring. And something happened to him. And I said to him when he came to see me, I said, how come you didn't see this one? How come you see for everybody, but you didn't see this one coming for you? And I said to him, that is why you must humble yourself and don't be too sure of yourself. And I said, what you need the most is the word of God. For when the Bible said, and Jesus was tempted of the devil, the temptation was about his knowledge and understanding of scripture. That was what the temptation was all about. Satan came to find out, to check him out, and to see his understanding and knowledge of scripture. So the whole temptation that came to Jesus was about the Torah. It was about the scriptures. So he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to turn into bread. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Satan said, okay, I think he knows the word. He took him to the pinnacle of the temple and said, it is written. So Satan also knows the word. That's why you must study the word and rightly divide the word of truth, because the adversary also knows the scriptures and he can use the scriptures to deceive you. So you got to know the word. You have to understand the protext, the pretext, to appreciate the context of the text. And he said, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down. And he quoted Psalm 91. So he knows the scriptures. Psalm 91 and the 11th verse. And said he's given his angels charge. They'll keep you in all your ways. So this is nothing. Just jump. The angels are here. They'll catch you. Jesus said you are quoting out of context. This is out of context. You are tempting the Lord your God. Satan realized that this guy is not going to operate by anointing or gift, but he's going to go by the rules of engagement. And so he took him to a high mountain, showed him the kingdoms and the glory and the riches, and said, you know, Jesus, everything you see was given unto me. You know, people who despise spirituality and look down upon spiritual people and things for position, money, power, influence, and things outside of the scripture, you are to be pitied. Because you see, when the challenges of this life comes, the only thing that withstands it is your knowledge of scripture. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 22:29, you err because you know not the scriptures, nor the power of God. The scriptures is impregnated with the power of God. And when you know the scriptures, it gives you an advantage over the adversary. Say yes. And Jesus said, where were you in the beginning when I created all things? For I am the Word made flesh. And all things were created by me, and all things consist by me. And I am the head of all principalities and powers. Whether they be thrones or dominions, all things consist by me. And I am the only one that has preeminence of all things. How dare you offer me what I created? These are my subjects. I created them. And he said, for thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shall thou worship. The enemy wants the worship of God. He wants us to stop worshiping God and worship him. That's why this Sunday morning, there are a lot of people who are not in church. There are a lot of people sleeping, playing golf. Now, I'm not saying playing golf is bad. But whatever you do, at the time when you have to worship God, when you pay attention to anything more than God, it is an idol and it is your God. Whatever you pay more attention to than God is an idol and is your God. And there are people like that in this world. They will never pay attention to the Word. They will never go to church. They have problems with preachers. They have problems with the church. They criticize everything spiritual. They establish an argument why they shouldn't read the Bible, why they shouldn't go to church, why they shouldn't hear the Word of God. They argue about everything until the day they are in trouble. Then suddenly they become humble. Their arrogance and their pride and their audacity to argue scripture and to try and establish an argument why they detest God, the servants of God, and the things of God, it's only based on where they stand and where they are at a given time, at a particular time. It's not based on anything outside of influence, power, money, access. They feel they are sitting pretty. They have become so powerful. You know, years ago, I went to this country, and there was a guy there who was very, very close to the then president in this particular country. He's now in opposition. He finished his term. And this guy was so powerful and was so arrogant that Even the ministers of that government feared him. Because if you are not in his good book, he had the ear of the president like Haman the Agagite, and can sabotage and undermine you. And whatever he said, the president did. And he was so feared that nobody could touch him. Very, very arrogant. And whenever I went there to see the president, after our meeting, he was the last person to come in and we'll have dinner with the president and tell him about the day and what's going on. And the dude was powerful. And somebody was telling me, Papa, you have to try and have some relationship with this guy. And I said, why? He said, the guy is very powerful. If he doesn't like you, I mean, you are finished. And I said, I don't need anything from him. I'm not seeking for any governmental position. I am not a minister. I'm not part of your party. I'm not part of your government. And as a matter of fact, I'm a Ghanaian. I come from another country and a different tribe and society. I don't want anything. And I said, if anything, he and the president needs me more. I don't need them. Anyway, and the thing that was sad was, he was so powerful and had access to money. He was responsible of national security. And had so much money he couldn't account for. So he gave money to the president. He gave money to the first lady. I mean, the dude was powerful. And he had information on everybody. He can tap everybody's phone. I mean, the guy was so powerful. Cut a long story short, carry forward. Just a few years before the presidency of this president ended, something happened. Something went wrong. And he and the president fell out. And he became an enemy to the president and to the wife. And they also decided to destroy him. It was a fierce battle. Then somebody called me and said, the guy wants to talk to me. And I said, no, I don't want to talk to him. They said, can we give you his number? He wants to talk. And I said, no, please don't give him my number. Tell him I've misplaced my phone. I don't remember my number. Don't give it to him. And I did that because I can't. One of the things God hates is proud people. He said, God resisted the proud. God himself will resist you. He will send an angel to resist you, block you and stand in your way. And what God does is he hardens your heart like he did to Pharaoh. So you become so stubborn. And it's for your own destruction. He does that to people he wants to destroy. So when I see this kind and type of people who feel so powerful, have no regard and respect for God and the things of God. Now, I'm not saying that preachers are perfect. No preacher is perfect. And I am one. I am not an angel. I have my own issues and shortcomings. And I understand it and I realize it. And I've learned to take responsibility of where I'm wrong. But the fact of the matter is that that does not give you the pass or the right not to obey scripture. Because I was telling them the other day, I was in this place preaching, and I said, if you want long life, there are two conditions. Honor your father and your mother. Period. That's the condition. And I said, even if your father rapes you as a woman, that doesn't give you the right to dishonor him. Because when you dishonor him, you are in violation of the ordinance of God. He is also in violation for taking advantage of his daughter. So God will judge him, because God is a just God, for what he did to you. But God will judge you also. Because see, the thing here is not the forgiveness of God. It is more of Satan being an adversary and being an accuser that will use what you are not doing right to come after you. So Satan will say that, well, whether your father raped you or not, the fact of the matter is that you have dishonored your father. And on that basis, you have forfeited your right to live long. So you come after you to take you out prematurely. I mean, the rules of engagement is very scary, you know. Very, very scary. When my dad and my mother was alive, I went out of my way to my head to make sure I honored them to the day they all died. Because I needed to fulfill that scripture. I had to fulfill that scripture. for my own good, not for their benefit, for my benefit. So as difficult as my dad and my mom was, I made a conscious effort that this man, this woman, I will honor them through the day they die. And my spiritual father, Archbishop Idahosa, and after him, I submitted to Morosorello. These two people, I went out of my... There was a situation I had with Archbishop Idahosa. It didn't help me at all spiritually. And I learned. You see, what betrayal does is that it makes you wise. Betrayal makes you wise. And as the days have gone by, and the years and the decades have come, I have become wiser than I was before. In my dealing with a lot of things in life, because of the different types and kinds of betrayals I have been through, I am a better person today than I was yesterday. I am wiser today than I was yesterday. My dealings with people is different today than I dealt with people before. It doesn't matter what, because I have learned by experience how to deal with people. See, I hear you. And when Idahosa was alive, I dealt with him very wisely. There was a time Morosorello came here, and there was some commitment I made, and I honored it. And later his office called and said he's still expecting that commitment. So I called my finance manager, and I said, Dan, have we honored our commitment? He said, yes. But the call kept coming, and I said, Dan, you know something? I don't want to argue with the old man. Just send the rest. Just send the rest of the fund. Just send it to him. And he said, but we paid. I have a prayer. I said, it's not a matter of proof. I don't want to argue with the old man. So just send it. Send everything. I just want peace. And I want to make sure he's old before he passes. I don't want him having any funny thought or image of me. So just send it. And he sent it. And he sent a message to thank me. And I said, that is fine. No problem, Papa. No problem. You got to be wise. Because what the enemy wanted to do was to sow a seed of discord between me and the old man. And I saw what the enemy wanted to do. And I said, Dan, this is not a matter of proving anything, who is wrong or right. Don't go there. Just do what I'm telling you. Settle this thing. Sometimes the Bible said, let him that want to be wise in this world become a fool that they might become wise. So it's not about right all the time. No. Sometimes you have to let your right go. Sometimes you have to let your right go to keep peace. Amen? Proverbs 28:1.
The wicked flee, though no one pursues. For the righteous are as bold as a lion.
The wicked. So when you are in violation, humble yourself. Because one of the things that opens you up to the spirit of fear to attack you is when you are in violation of the ordinance of God. When you transgress, when you live in sin or in iniquity, it opens you up for the adversaries to come in. So he said, the wicked runneth when no man pursueth him. But the righteous, those who do right, they are bold as a lion. Dula kasala. Ayala kun silait. Kufalun likasun kalihada. Masala kutulu wasalaha. Lift up your hands. Pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute. Just lift up your hands. Victory over fear. Victory over fear. Pray in the Holy Ghost a little bit stronger. Violently. Kadus. Lahadaku. Those of you at home, wherever, just lift up your hands. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Salukasa. Salama katulunda kasila. I do it every now and then. When I feel I am coming under some kind of a strange attack, and I can tell the enemy is torturing my thoughts, my mind, my emotions, my body, I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost for clarity before I start dealing with issues. Amen? 1 Peter 5:7.
Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you.
So one of the things that opens all of us up to fear is anxiety, being anxious for something. This care we have, the care of our kids, our loved ones, has a way of opening you up for the spirit of fear to enter. It will come in, and it comes with so many things. Look at what he does when he comes in. Romans 8:15.
But you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
You see, so again, you can see here that we have not received. That means this thing called fear is not part of God's plan and provision for you and I. He has not given us a spirit of fear. The reason is because fear will bind you. Tell somebody, fear will bind you. Fear will bind you. Fear will make you a slave. Yeah, fear will make you a slave. It will make you its subject. So he said, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, because fear binds. It will bind you. Today, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I'm taking my time to work this thing. In the name of he who died, hung on the tree for a few hours, and laid in the grave for 3 days, and arose on the third day, and ascended far above all principalities and powers, and he ever lived to make intercession. In his name, I command the total and the unconditional release of anyone here under the sound of my voice, bound by the spirit of fear. Be loose in the name of Jesus. Put your hands together and say, be loose. Say, let them loose. Say, spirit of fear, bondage, let them loose. Say, let loose your captives. Let loose your slaves. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So it will bind you. Revelation 21 and 8.
But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Look at the category where God put the fearful. Those who are afraid. Those who allow fear to dominate. Those who make choices and decisions in life by the things we fear or are afraid of. You got to confront your fears. You got to confront your fears. If you are afraid of flying, you have to fly them all. Malaka sulaka. Kayanda kusunt. Kidai kisalan. Wahalandu kusilian. Ayalaka tukumba sala. And say, that is not my portion. Makasala. Akum silei to kasin. I will never sit in an aircraft that will not arrive safely in one piece at its destination. I will not be in that aircraft. Mayakutum kasalanda kus. You need to be courageous and you need to be daring and you need to be bold to declare the word of God against all odds and contradictions. You must confront it, because what you don't confront, you will never conquer it. Masala. If you are afraid of swimming pool that you will drown, get in the pool. Makusalamata. Mahasulei to kunsilia. If you are afraid of height, go to the highest and the tallest floor in the hotel. Check in there. Open the window and keep looking down. Makasala. Mahansalunda king. Asila kasun. And keep speaking the word of God until you don't have fear of heights anymore. Say, I have no fear. I have no fear. Come on, say, I have no fear. Makasala. If you are afraid of death, every now and then go to the cemetery. Park your car. Come out of your car. Speak the word of God. I will not die prematurely. I will not die prematurely. Death, hold your peace. Stand down. Stay on your side of the land. I am not ready to come now. You have no power over me. I will check in when I'm ready. Are you hearing me, somebody? And until then, you don't have the power to have me. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, no one can take my life. Then he said, I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it back again. That's what Jesus said. And Paul said, I am caught between two opinions. On one hand, I feel like I should leave. I'm tired of this crazy world with all that people seek after and go after. Paul said, you know something? I have no appetite for all this foolishness. I don't want the things that people want. You know, we don't want anything here. I was telling somebody the other day, he wanted to get me some suit and shoes. And I said, please, don't get me anything. I said, I'll stop buying shoes and suits. If you watch me, I wear the same shoe all the time. And all the dresses I wear, I sew them here. I have a tailor in the church who sews them for me. He's a very simple person. He's here. He sews all my things for me, simply. I don't buy from all those places people buy. I don't spend money to buy things anymore. I spend money for projects and a lot of things that will outlive me and outlast me. I'm very, very wise. When I was a young preacher, I had delight in many. These days, I don't have delight and pleasure in a lot of things. So I tell people, don't buy me this watch. I have too many watches. I don't want to wear it. Only one watch. I've worn it for years. I don't even know the time, whether this watch works or it doesn't work. Yeah. A lot of things don't matter to me anymore. Are you hearing me, somebody? Yeah. So Jesus said, and listen to what Paul said. He said, I'm caught between going or being here. Then he said, you know what? I think it's profitable for you, for me to stay. So I'll be around for a while. Then at a point, Paul said, I have finished my course. Tell two people, against all contradictions, I will finish my course. Tell two people, I'll finish. Yeah, I will. Then the other day, Jesus said something. I think it's in John chapter 10. He said, no one can pluck you out of my hands. For the Father who gave you to me is greater than everybody. Hear me. It's not everybody you can fool with. I'm telling you. It's not everybody you can fool with. Somebody did something to me the other day, and one of my attorneys said, Papa, can you allow me to take him up to sue? I said, no, don't. I said, if you sue him and you take him up, you are giving him too much power. You are making him feel his name. I said, ignore him. And I said, but let me tell you something. Watch and study history. And I mentioned some names. And I said, go to history, check them. And I said, such people and such individuals, they never end well. Yeah, I've seen them. I've learned by experience. So I hold my peace. And sometimes it's like, why are you not saying something? No. They have already determined their own end. I've watched them carefully. Such individuals, they never end well. Because they are used to hurt other people's reputation. They take money. They do things to the hurt of others to profit and benefit from at the expense of their own future or at the expense of their children. So I said to them, I said, sir, I see your wisdom. Don't take him. I'm leaving. And I said, I'll tell you why you should leave him. Such individuals don't end well. Mark it. Write it down. Study history. I've checked it so carefully. They never end well. They die suddenly. And some of them, they cry to die. And death won't take them. Because they must pay the full price. Aluka, Asala, Awahasalum, Ikusunt, Kafasalum, Wahalakutum, Kisalamaza, Ayala, Awasa, Ikatulum, Kapasa. Put your hands together. Mesukala. Come with me. 1 John chapter 4 and the 18th verse. 1 John 4, 18.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment.
Fear has torment. Fear will torture you. It will torment you. It comes with torment.
He that feareth is not made perfect love.
If you are one that is fearful about everything, about the future, it's because you are not made perfect in love. And the love here is referring to God's love. Say, in the name of Jesus, I have no fear. Say, I have no fear. No fears. Say, no fears. no fears. Look, before Luke 10, come with me to 2 Samuel 17, 1 and 2. 2 Samuel 17, 1 and 2.
Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed.
You see, so two things here will open you up to fear. Weariness and weak-handed. When you are weary, fatigued, tired, you are vulnerable. At that time, the person called fear will come and visit you. It will knock at your door. Through weariness, when you are tired and weary, and I have learned, when I'm weary, when I'm fatigued, when I'm tired, when I'm vulnerable, that is the time I speak the scriptures like crazy. And you know, when I'm speaking the scriptures, it's not because I'm in good shape. It's not because I'm feeling good. No. It has nothing to do with my feelings and what I'm going through. I'm declaring the word. And the more I speak the scriptures, I activate and deploy and engage my angels to go to work. Because they only work by the word. For in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And all things was made or created by the word. And there was nothing made or created that was made or created without the word. And the word took flesh and dwell among us. So God and the angels, they don't respond to our fears. They don't respond to our emotions. They don't respond to thoughts or intelligence or imaginations. They don't respond to positive thinking. They respond to the scripture. That is what they respond to. So when you speak the word, even when you don't feel good, and when everything is falling apart around you, just keep speaking the word. The angels will go to work. Look at it.
And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will fight the king alone.
You see the strategy here? This guy was no joke. David was a king, a prophet, a priest, a man after God's own heart. And it took 12,000 people to strike one man, to capture one man. 12,000 people to capture one man. The Bible said David was fierce in battle. One man, he could smite and slay 1,000 people by his hand. That was how mighty David was. And Ahithophel, who was Solomon's great-grandfather, Ahithophel, a man of counsel, revealed a secret that as great and powerful and mighty as David was, he said, I know how to get him. I will not attack him with 12,000 men until he's vulnerable, weak-handed. And at that time, what I need to do to remove his defenses is to attack him with fear. And when I make him afraid, his defenses will depart from him. And he will start misbehaving. And those around him who trust and believe and have confidence in his leadership will desert him. And then I will strike him. What are you afraid of? I want to give you some few scriptures to pray with in the morning. When I was up this morning, because I have three services today, I decided I wasn't going to push myself too much because I did a lot of praying last night before I went to bed. Then the enemy whispered to me and said, listen, if you don't get up and pray like you prayed yesterday, I'll deal with you. And I said, you deal with me. You don't have what it takes to deal with me. So immediately, I knew what the enemy was trying to do. He was trying to get me to pray out of fear. And I said, no, I'm not going to pray out of fear. If I'm praying, I'm praying out of faith, not out of fear. So I said, I know what to do. I will confront you by the word. So I said, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be to God who causes me to triumph always. So I didn't get up. I laid on the bed. And I said, let me speak the word to you, Satan. I said, Father, thank you for causing me to triumph always by Christ. Even right now, I triumph. I triumph over the voice of the enemy. I triumph over fear. I triumph over adversaries. I triumph over the imagination and the thoughts. I triumph over the schemings and the projections, the interference and the mischiefs of adversaries known and unknown. I triumph over them, even by the voice of the blood. Ah, I triumph. Nicholas, Duncan Williams, you triumph. And I started speaking the word. Suddenly, I didn't hear his voice again. And I said, hey, what if I don't know? He's very good, though. Yeah. And if I didn't know the word, I would have been up praying. But every prayer I prayed at that time would have been out of fear. And the Bible says anything done without faith is sin. So when fear attacks, that is not the time to, you don't pray based on fear. You pray based on the scriptures. You pray out of faith. How do you pray out of faith? You pray the word. You pray the scriptures. And even though you are not feeling good and your circumstances don't look right and you've heard all kinds of things and people are, listen, I've come to a place and I don't fear man anymore. I'm telling you. I've seen the great. I've seen the mighty crumble. Crumble. There was a time in this nation, there was this guy. He was so powerful that he had the ear of the king at that time. Very powerful. The then king will go to cabinet. They will take cabinet decision. And this one person prevails on the president. And he will change cabinet decision. He was so powerful. And he had a girlfriend. And the girlfriend used to come to this church. I didn't know. And she got born again through a friend. And stopped dealing with him. But the girl made a mistake. And told him that, at that time, they used to call me Brother Nick. Brother Nick said, I can't have sex with you anymore. So the guy sent a message through somebody to me that you are taking my girlfriend from me. I will show you where power lies. I was very young. I didn't understand a lot of things. And when I told my auntie was then a member of the PNDC at that time, Mary Grant. She was Mary Duncan, she became Mary Grant. And she said, Nick, she spoke in Fanti that this guy is very powerful, so be careful. And he started initially using governmental powers to come after me. After many years, 2 years of persecution and all kinds of things, I prayed a certain prayer. And that prayer, I didn't imagine it. It was the Holy Spirit that gave me utterance to pray as I ought to pray. Because I didn't know how to pray anymore. And one time I said, Lord, what is his value? What is his value and usefulness to you on earth? Why should he live? Why should he live? What is his usefulness and his value to you? That was all I prayed. I was going to London at that time with Ghana Airways. He was at first class. I was at the back at the economy. I didn't know how first class looked like in those days. After weeks, when I was coming back, he was in a casket. I'm not saying it was the prayer I prayed, though. That's not what I'm saying. But I said that the Holy Ghost gave me utterance. And all I said was, Lord, what is his value? What is his usefulness to you? For the life of men are in your hands. Even the life of the king is in your hands. What is his usefulness? What is his value? From that day, I stopped fearing men. Because I knew that a man is like grass of the field that withereth. And like the flower that fades away. So when I see people that they are so powerful, so arrogant, and they feel like nobody, they are untouchable, you are as grass that withers, and you are like flower that faded. So take it easy. Tell somebody, I know you are powerful, but take it easy. Yeah, tell them. I know you are very powerful, but take it easy. Because of time, I want to give you two scriptures. And I'll stop here. I'll continue next week. I have to take my time to break this thing down because it's loaded. It's really loaded. There is one thing that overcomes fear in this world. The Bible says, for this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And we'll go to that next week. But let me give you some scriptures. When you wake up in the morning, these are some few scriptures you must pray with. Number one, Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against me this day by the elements of creation, by any man or by any woman or by any institution, by an adversary known or unknown. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It will not work. It will not stand. Let their schemings and mischiefs backfire. In the name of Jesus, let it backfire. Yea, let their defenses depart from them, and let their proud waves come to an end. You stand on that scripture to pray. And you can add more to it. These are not just the only scriptures you use in the morning. Secondly, Psalm 23:1. In 54:17, it talks about condemning. And that word to condemn means to mute or to silence or to override or to discredit their tongue. Let the voice of them that speak ill and evil of you, let the voice and the tongues of them that misrepresent you be discredited. Let their mouth be shut. Yea, let their tongues cleave to the root of their mouth. Let their voice be silenced. Say yes. Psalm 23:1. The Lord, He is my guide, my shield, my covering, my shepherd, the lifter up of my head, my glory. I shall not want. I will not want for money. I will not want for peace, joy, victory, or progression. I will not want for vindication. I will not want for strength. I will not want and I will not lack for any good thing. No good thing shall elude me this day. In the land of the living, no good thing shall elude me. All my stolen goods are returned. So you stand on Psalm 23:1. And pray as the Holy Spirit inspires you to move into all dimensions and areas. That is for the morning. Give you one more. Psalm 118:24. This is the day.
This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to gladness, happiness, it's a choice. It's not a feeling. It's a decision. It has nothing to do with what you have in the bank and what you don't have. I know people loaded, but they are not happy people because they are thieves. Yeah, they broke the law. So they don't enjoy what they have happily. So when they see others happy, when they see you having something and you are happy, they despise you. They don't like you. And I'm used to that. I don't bother myself too much about that. But happiness is a decision. It's a daily decision. So you can be happy today and be sad tomorrow. So make up your mind that the fact that I'm alive today, I give thanks. And I choose to be happy. It has nothing to do with your feelings. So sometimes you can feel some way, and still make a decision. That I choose to be happy. I choose to be glad. And sometimes learn to laugh. And laughter is something you have to make it happen. Hey! Ha! Ha ha! Ha 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 ha! Ha 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 ha! And then you see others around you start laughing, and suddenly you catch the thing. Tell somebody, laugh, let's laugh, let's laugh. Say, ha, 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 ha. Hey, 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 hey. You see, you are laughing. Yeah. If you are waiting for something good to happen for you to laugh, nothing good is going to happen. No, 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 I'm just telling you. This life is tough. Life on its own is tough. So you have to learn how to superimpose the scripture over your circumstances. Daily. So that is for the morning. I want you to keep it. I'll give you some more later. But let me see if I can give you that of the afternoon. Okay. At noon, Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my fortress. He's my fortress. He's my shield. He's my stronghold. He's my strength. He's my refuge. You say all those things. You add to that scripture. You add to it. You say, I dwell under the shadow and the tabernacle of the Almighty. The Lord is a shield and a covering to me, for thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. And you begin to say, Lord, thou art my covering. And say, Lord, any group of people, whoever they are, wherever they are, who have gathered and have met and are conspiring and speaking ill of me, let them scatter. Let confusion visit them right now. Say, I send lightnings and thunder and disaster to their camp in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let some mischief and misfortune befall them. I'm sorry. If you don't want to pray that, pray and say, Lord, bless them. Show them mercy. Lord, I love them. Fine, go ahead. It's your choice. I prayed those prayers before. But as I grow and I see the wickedness in the hearts of men, I've learned to pray some prayers. Go ahead. Read it, Bishop, quickly. My time is up.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge,
yes, sir,
and my fortress.
My God.
My God, in Him will I trust.
You have to say it. Tell somebody, you have to say it. He didn't say, I will be silent. I will what? I will
say.
I will be silent. I will be quiet. I will meditate. Do you know what meditation means? The word meditation means to rehearse. Say rehearse. Say rehearse. Rehearse the scriptures over and over again. Tell somebody, keep rehearsing. Keep rehearsing. That is what meditation is. He said, I will do what?
Say.
I'll be quiet.
No.
I will what?
Say.
I will what? Say. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I
trust.
Tell somebody, you have to say it. You have to say it. If you don't say it, you don't have it. The angels work when you say it. Psalm 103 verse 20. They don't operate till you say it. You have to keep speaking and saying it to activate and to engage and deploy them. Bless the Lord. Go ahead.
Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength.
That do
His commandment.
Uh-huh.
Hearkening unto the voice of His word.
You see, the reason why Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. This is the reason. When you read the scriptures, it doesn't work. You see, the scriptures are like a check. When I give you a check, you have what is written on the check with my signature on it. But it's still not yours until you cash it. And the way you cash the word or the check is when you declare and when you say with your mouth what is written. That is when you cash the check. So until you say, you don't have it. Romans 10, verse 10. Look at something. Start from verse 8. Romans 10, from verse 8.
But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart.
Remember, it's in thy heart before your heart. We'll come there. Or
that
your
is,
mouth. Your mouth before your heart. Go ahead.
That is the word of faith which we preach.
Yes.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus.
With your mouth.
The Lord Jesus.
With your mouth.
Yes, sir. And shalt believe in your heart.
So watch this. He didn't say with your head. He didn't say confess with your heart. Confess with what? Your mouth. Believe where? Heart. So where is belief? In the heart. Where is faith? In the heart. Where is confession? In the mouth. Go ahead. Look at it.
If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
So when are you saved?
Confess.
When you confess what you believe in your heart. So until you confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, you might believe, but it doesn't work. So reading the scriptures is not enough. Reading brings understanding. But deliverance and salvation happens when you confess what you are reading. Amen?
For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness.
You see? So with your heart you believe to what? Righteousness. Go ahead.
And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
So what is belief? The check. What is confession when you cast the check? So when you believe, it means you have the check. When you confess, you cast the check. And until you confess, you are holding a check of $1 million, but you still don't have it. The money is in the bank, but you can't have it because you haven't cashed the check. Tell somebody, cash the check. So what happened when you cash the check? This is what happened when you cast the check. Psalm 103 verse 20. This is what happened when you cast the check. 103:20.
Bless the Lord ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments.
The commandment is the charge. They already have a charge. What they are waiting for is the next verse.
Hearkening unto the voice of
that one,
word.
That one doesn't come from God. That one comes from you and I. We give voice to what is written. And when we declare what is written, then we have given voice to the word. And that is what activates the angels and deploys and engages them. So until we speak, confess scripture, and give voice to the word, the angels stand and they can't move. One of my fathers said something years ago. He went to an hospital to pray for a lady that was dying. And as he stood there at the hospital, he saw this angel standing by the lady, and the angel wasn't functioning. So he said to the angel, why are you not moving? And the angel said, I don't have the release to do something. He said, what do you mean by release? He said, I haven't been given the orders. I am here because I've been charged to be here to save her, but I can't do what I have to do until she gives me permission by the word. So the old man began to speak to the lady and say, go back to some of the things you used to say when you were in Sunday school. You used to sing this song. You used to confess this scripture. Say it. And as he began to minister to her subconscious mind, she started whispering some of the scripture song. And she started confessing a particular scripture. And as she spoke that word, struggling, she was in coma, she was struggling, the word came out. And the angel immediately broke her chains and the demons fled and she came back to herself. And she said, I saw the angel. I saw the angel. The angel was here. He was standing by me, but he wasn't doing anything. He wasn't moving. Until when I spoke the scriptures, then the angel set me free. Do you know there are angels waiting for your word? There are angels waiting for you to speak the scriptures so they can go to work. And until you say the scriptures, it doesn't matter how much you pray. You can pray your tears, feelings, oh God, have mercy, why me? Oh, don't you? And you can cry, God will mind you. Because angels don't respond to tears, they don't respond to your feelings, they don't respond to your circumstances, they respond to the word. In the beginning, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and nothing happened. Nothing was happening, even though the Spirit was moving, until God said, let there be light. And when the word came forth, and the word joined the Spirit and the word began to work. Then Jesus, word made flesh, came to the earth and said, my time has not yet come. My time has not yet come. For 30 years, then one day, the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove and dwelt and abided in him. Then the Bible said, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So when it even comes to scripture, you can't understand scripture without the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the author of scripture. All scripture is written by the inspiration of God. That inspiration is the breath of God. That is the Holy Spirit. Holy men spoke as they were moved and inspired by the Holy Ghost. So you need the Holy Spirit and you need the Word of God. The combination of the Word and the Spirit is what makes the difference. Stand on your feet.
We know you are blessed by that Word of God and look forward to you joining the messages of the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams again. For more information on our events, books, and messages, please visit NDW Ministries online at www.ndwministries.org or call our offices on +1 877 361 5111. Once again, thank you for joining the Archbishop today, and may you continue to experience the life transforming power of God's blessings.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com.